Have you ever had a time where you thought something wasn't that big of a deal, but then you came to realize that it had way bigger consequences than what you first had thought? Let me give you an example. I came across a story in the news recently of this one lady who she was in a fishing competition just at a local lake, and they gave away a $100 prize for whoever could come up with like the coolest picture for it. So I don't know, maybe there were some like intense people like catching a fish, but she at the time with the crew that she was fishing with, they caught this little octopus and they're like, oh, this is cool. We caught this little octopus. Maybe we could come up with some cool picture for this. And so she's like, all right, I've got this really funny idea with this octopus. She grabs this octopus and she puts it on her face. I don't know why she did, like, you ladies are like taking pictures with like, your coffee. She's taking pictures with octopus on her face. And so we got all the tentacles like going around her ears and like around her nose and stuff and all over her face. And if you didn't know this about octopi, is that they have little beaks because they like to pinch and that's how they eat their prey. Well, what it did is it bit her right in the bottom of her chin. And it ended up latching onto her, and her face all of a sudden changed and realized, oh, this isn't as much fun as I thought it was going to be anymore. And it latched on, and it stuck there, and she had to go to the hospital. She ended up bleeding for like 30 minutes. Not even bleeding for 30 minutes. She didn't go to the hospital until 2 days later because she's like, oh, it'll just wear off. And then ended up like paralyzing like half of the side of her body, and she freaked out and then went to the hospital and finally got it figured out, and she had some major infection all from this little octopus that she thought was just going to be some fun thing to win this $100 prize. I don't know if she won it. If she didn't, that just adds insult to injury. So hopefully she won the prize. But she came to realize that her mistake of putting this octopus on her face had way bigger consequences than what she thought it was going to be. She thought, oh, it's not a big deal. It's just fun and games. It doesn't really matter. But it had way bigger consequences than what she thought. And one thing that I think that we treat as a small deal and we say that's not that important is caring for other people. We say, hey, Nathan, that's not that important. That's not a big deal. But we'll come to the realization that caring for others, if we don't do that, it will have way bigger consequences than what we imagine. We say, it's not that big a deal, but it is to God if we show care and concern and compassion towards one another. And see, if we don't sacrificially care for those around us, there's going to be some big consequences. First off, you're not going to have many friends. If you're not caring towards other people, who's going to want to hang out with you? No one is going to want to be around you. Even beyond that, if the friendships that you do have, they're going to be super shallow. You're not going to be able to really get to know these other people. They're going to be surface level relationships. People aren't going to want to hang out with you. You're going to have a small impact for the Lord. And if you don't care for other people, you might actually turn people away from the gospel. Oh, that's what a Christian looks like. Someone who's not caring and they're looking at you and you're not someone who is caring. They're going to be like, I don't want to be with that. And you're going to turn them away from Christ and from the gospel. There are some major consequences if we aren't people who care about each other, care about other people. And one passage that talks about this idea of caring for others is in Titus 3, verses 12 through 15. So hopefully you have your Bible. If not, it's right there on the right side of your worksheet. But let's open up to Titus chapter 3, finishing off this last section in Titus. Last week, we discussed the trustworthy gospel and how this needs to be our focus. And with this last section in Titus, he kind of wraps it all up. He sends some final greetings, and he leaves them with one more call to action. So hopefully you guys are there. Titus 3, let's start reading in verse 12. Paul says this. He says, when I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I've decided to spend the winter there. You see, remember, Paul is writing here to Titus, who he has placed in Crete, the church in Crete, and one of these guys, Artemis or Tychicus, is going to come to replace him so that Titus can then come and visit Paul. That's what it's talking about there in verse 12. Verse 13, do your best to speed Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. We got two other characters, Zenas and Apollos, and these are probably the people who carried the letter to Titus from Paul, and they're probably some missionaries, and he urges them to make sure that they lack nothing. So care for these people, make sure they've got what they need, and then send them along to continue to do the work that they were going to do. Verse 14, and let our people learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. He wants them to be committed, to be devoted to these good works. And it says to not be unfruitful. Another way of saying that, another way to translate it is, otherwise they will be good for nothing. Not being fruitful, not being productive, being good for nothing. He's like, hey, I don't want you guys to be good for nothing. I want you guys to be fruitful, productive, doing these good works, committed to do that. And then in verse 15, he sends some more greetings. All who are with me send greetings to you. Greet those who love us in faith. Grace be with you all. He sends some greetings like other letters that he writes. And in this section, we see the care that Paul has, not only for Titus, but for the church in Crete. And he is urging them to have the same type of concern, the same type of care for other people. And see, we also need to be people who commit to sacrificially care for others. We need to commit to sacrificially care for others. And see, when we care for other people, this care isn't just about getting the warm and the fuzzies. I don't even know what that means. It's like, oh, I just got the warm and fuzzies whenever I'm around them. Like, what does that even mean about caring for someone? I don't even know. Showing care leads to action. It's not just, oh, I just have this strong emotional feeling. No, if you care for someone, you're going to do stuff for them. You're going to show it in action. It's not passive, but it is active. He urges them to do these good works. And what good works is he urging them to do? Caring for those people that are in need. See, we need to also be concerned for the well-being of other people. We rub shoulders with all kinds of people in our day-to-day lives, whether it's at home or at school or here in the Narrow. But are we people who show a genuine care and a genuine interest in them? Or do we just brush them off to the side and don't really care? Are we just solely focused on ourselves, or do we actually care about other people? We need to develop a genuine concern for other people. So go ahead and write that down for the first point. Develop a genuine concern for other people. Now think about it. Who was someone who had a real concern for other people? He might have wrote this book. It rhymes with mall, but starts with a P. Who is it? Peter, exactly. No, you guys got it. It's Paul. Rhymes with, you know, you guys got it. It's Paul. Showed a genuine concern for other people. Think about it. He's writing this letter to Titus and to this church. Is he just doing it because he likes to write letters? Like, oh yeah, I just got some free time, so I just want to write these letters to all these different... No, it's because he actually cares about them. Maybe you guys don't understand this because we don't write letters anymore. But he's not doing it just for fun. He's not just pen pals with these people. No, he's doing it because he wants to see these people not only be saved, but he's writing specifically to a church so that they would grow in their sanctification and become more like Christ. That is why he cares, and that is why we need to care as well. Ask yourself, am I someone who actually cares for other people? And I know as we're sitting here in these chairs, it's easy to think, oh yeah, of course. Of course I care for other people. It's easy, yes, to say right now. But when our days get busy and when we're doing other things, do we forget about others and only become focused on ourselves? Maybe you're asking, Nathan, why should I even show a concern for other people? Why is that even a big deal? Well, primarily, every single person on this earth is made in the image of God. Each person is a soul, and they're going to have to give an account to the Lord for every action that they do. We should be concerned about that. We should care for them, that when they stand before the Lord, that they're not ashamed from how they lived their lives. Think about Christians especially. If you're a Christian in the room and you think of all the other Christians, you should care about them because we're all in one family. We're all in the family of God. See, there's some of you in this room who you're really good at caring for other people. And if that's you, you need to keep it up and do it even more so in caring for others. But then there's some of us who we think we're really good at caring, but we're not really good at caring. And then there's even more of us who we just know, yeah, I don't even care about other people, and that needs to change. So hopefully this message will do that for you guys. You need to have a concern for other people. Let's get back to those people who think they're good at caring for others. Maybe you're like, oh, I listen to other people when they're talking. Like when someone's telling me what's going on in their life, I listen to them. That means I must care for them. but you're not actually listening to them. Has anyone ever done that before? Like someone's talking to you, they're telling about you, you're hearing them, but you're not really understanding what they're saying. You're just waiting to go on to a different subject because you don't really want to hear what's going on in their life. That's a little too much. You don't actually care for them. That needs to change. We need to stop doing that. Actually listen to other people, be invested in their lives, care about them as souls. But see, we're sly people, right? We come up with all these excuses as to, I don't want to care because of this. I don't want to care because of that. And so I think we should walk through some of these excuses that we give and just combat them and fight them and see how these excuses that we give to not have a concern for other people and how foolish they are. One excuse that probably comes into our mind a lot is, well, it just doesn't come into my mind a lot. It just doesn't pop into my head to care for others. Like when it does, then I'll do it. But if it doesn't come into my head, oh, Nathan, you should go care for them, then I don't ever do it. We know why the idea of showing a concern for other people doesn't pop into your mind very much, because all you're thinking is about yourself. Your focus is all about me, 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 and me. Not caring about what other people are doing. That's why it doesn't pop into our mind. We need to put off this attitude of selfishness and self-focus. Think about it. When you walk into the Narrow, do you just, oh, those are my buds. Those are my guys right over there. Those are my gals. I know they're going to love to talk about me, talk about what's going on. I'm going to go over and hang with them because that's always what I do every single week. Or is it, oh man, I don't know that kid. That's going to be tough. I don't want to go talk to him. Or do you go up to the kid out in the corner because you care about them and not just what the easiest thing is for yourself? Think about the conversations that you have with one another. Are you just excited for them to stop talking so then you can tell them what you've been doing? Or are you actually listening to what's going on in their lives? We oftentimes try to like one-up other people in our stories or with what's going on in our lives. It's like, oh man, I've got so much homework. I've got like 3 hours of homework to do tonight. And then the other person's like, oh, you've got 3 hours of homework to do? Dude, you don't even, my teacher's the worst. They gave us 5 hours of homework to do. Oh, you had 5 hours? Well, we got a 3-page paper, 7 hours of homework. It's like, oh yeah, well, we've got 34 hours of homework to do tonight in my class. I got to write a paper, got to find the cure of world hunger. Got so much to go, so much to do. Are we trying to one-up other people in our stories just to get the focus back on ourselves? Or do we actually have a concern about each other's lives? Think about in your free time. So it's up to you to spend that free time. Are you gonna spend it on yourself or to do good to someone else? What are you posting on social media? Is it all whatever will make you look good, or is it uplifting those around you? That's one excuse that we give. Another excuse we often give is to not care about someone is, oh, well, that person, they don't have the same hobbies as me. They don't have the same interests as me. It's like, he doesn't even know how to throw a football. How am I supposed to care about that person? She doesn't even have an Instagram. Why should I care about her? Let me introduce you to one of my friends whose name is Jaime. You see, Jaime and I, if we were not Christians, we would never even come into contact with each other. If you know me, I'm all into sports and doing all that kinds of things. His favorite sport is, it's kind of ironic, it's ice curling. It's not even a real sport. He likes Pokemon. He's a complete nerd. Let's just put it that way. But then he would say probably the same thing as me, like, Nathan, you're weird. But we would never come into contact with each other. But he was a year older than me in high school, and he came and showed genuine interest in me. He came over, he talked to me, he asked me questions, got to know me, and now we're super close friends. And guess what? What was the one thing that united us together? It was our bond in Christ, because we were both Christians. We were united in the Lord, and that is why we should care about other people, even if they don't have the same interests as us. You might be like, Nathan, what if they're not a Christian? Then your goal in that relationship should be for them to come to know Christ, to put their trust in him. Another excuse that we give not to care about other people is, well, they're not fun. They're not attractive. They're kind of boring people. He tells the worst jokes. Well, first off, you shouldn't be talking about me like that. But then second off, that's not focusing on the things that we should be focusing on. That's just focusing on the outward things, but not caring that they are made in God's image and they're going to have to give an account to the Lord. Another excuse is, well, that person is mean to me. They're bully. And I totally get this. There are people who are rude, people who are mean. They're really disrespectful to me. They're always making jokes about me. Why should I even care about that person? Luke 6, verses 27 and 28 says this, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you." It doesn't say, hey, love your friends. Love just the people that are nice to you. It doesn't say that. It says, love even your enemies. Show a genuine concern for them in your lives. It's not this idea of, oh, I'll scratch your back if you're scratching mine. You guys know that before? I don't know why we're scratching each other's backs. But that idea of, oh, if you do something for me, then I'll do something back for you. That's not how we're supposed to operate. We're supposed to show concern for other people no matter what we're going to get in return. That might be another excuse that we give for not caring for other people. Oh, that's going to take so much work for me to go up and talk to that person or to go up and do that thing for that other individual. It's going to take so much work and I'm not going to get anything out of it. I'm going to get nothing from it. Well, let me ask you, do you think that is what Jesus thought when he was showing care to other people? In Matthew 14:14, Jesus had compassion. He showed care on those who were sick and he ended up healing them. Matthew 15:32, Jesus had compassion to the crowd because they had nothing to eat and he fed them. Even beyond that, Jesus cared most about seeing people saved, right with the Lord. Matthew 9:35 talks about this. It says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd." See, Jesus had compassion on the crowds that he was healing to and that he was feeding, not just so that he could say, oh, I healed and all these people, and just so that he could say, I fed all these people. Why? It's because he wanted them to listen to the message that he was proclaiming, which was the gospel, that the only way to Christ is, or the only way to God is through himself, Jesus Christ. So he showed compassion. He cared about other people. And that word compassion in Matthew 9 is this idea of this being deeply moved, like feeling it in your bowels, like feeling a pain in your stomach. Have you ever seen someone else in like so much pain? Maybe it's a family member and they're like throwing up and you can just hear it and it just makes your stomach churn on the inside. It makes it hurt. Or maybe you lose a loved one and your stomach is just in so much pain and you feel it in your stomach. You guys understand what I'm saying? Yeah. That is the same idea as this word that Jesus had compassion on the crowds. That is the concern that he had. But is this the type of care that you have for other people? How can you have more Christ-like compassion to those in your lives? One thing that you can do is by starting by praying for other people. That is something that Paul did for so many of his brothers, so many of his friends. He was praying for them. Are you praying for other people in your lives? Are you asking one another, hey, how can I pray for you? Or maybe you're asking the same person over again, how can I pray for you? And they're saying the same thing because you're not actually praying for them. Are you actually praying for people? Or are you just saying, oh, I'm gonna do it, but then you don't actually do it? We need to pray for others. See, our concern for Christians is that they are fruitful, that they're doing what God wants, that they're not hurting, that they're not discouraged. Paul wrote many letters to many different people to see that happen. Are we texting one another? Are we calling one another? Are we having conversations saying, hey man, how can I pray for you? Hey girl, how can I pray for you? What are you doing? Are you asking about those things? Think about also on the flip side, the concern for non-Christians. We want to see them saved. We want to see them put their trust in the Lord. One last excuse that we often give not to care about other people is, well, my friends are going to think that I'm weird if I go up and talk to that person that no one's talking to? The people that I usually hang out with, they're going to be like, wow, what's going on with Nathan? Why is he talking next, talking to that person? Because they're so weird. Many of us care so much about what our friends think that we don't actually care for other people. We're so concerned and caught up with what other our close friends are going to say about us and talk about us that we don't actually go out of our way to talk to other people and show that concern. You need to build your reputation, especially as school is starting, as someone who cares for others. Junior high is like such a weird time. I remember going through it where there's like so much drama that comes up. There's like family issues. And if you're someone who builds a reputation as someone who cares for other people, when something pops up into their life, they're going to come straight to you. They're going to come to you because they know that you care. And that's when you can get on top of it and care to them, for them, and use that as a platform to share the gospel to those people. What a great opportunity that is. You might be like, wow, Nathan, caring is a lot of work. And I'm going to say amen to that. Caring is a lot of work, but guess what? It is rewarding, and it is the good work that God wants us to do. Let's look back at Titus 3:14. It talks about it a little bit more. It says, and let our people, talking about the church in Crete, learn to devote themselves to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. See, God wants us to be fruitful and busy doing good works, and caring is part of the good work that he wants us to do, but it goes beyond that. So for point number two, write down, be busy doing what God wants. Be busy doing what God wants. And see, if you're not reading your Bible, how are you going to know what God wants you to do? You're not. That's the obvious answer. He tells us what he wants us to do in his word. So here's a little plug for DBR. If you're not doing the daily Bible reading with us, get on there. Be reading your Bible so that you can know what God wants you to do. One passage that talks about being a doer of the word and not just a hearer is James 1 verses 22. But we're going to read a little past that in James 1, 26 through 27. So go ahead and turn to that passage, and it talks a little bit more about what God wants us to do. How am I supposed to know? What does God want me to do? This passage talks about it a little bit afterwards. Don't just want to be hearers, but we want to be doers. Remember that? I say that in my prayers like all the time, if you guys are listening. Like, always help us not just to be hearers of the word, but doers also, because that's what God wants us to do. And he gives us some things in James 1, 26 and 27 on things we ought to be doing. Starts here in James 1, 26. It says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. It gives us three things there that it wants us to be doing. And the first thing is to be someone who bridles their tongue, someone who watches the words that they say. Do you guys know what a bridle is? You guys ever heard of bridle? They use it for horses. It's that whole mechanism that they have the bit in the mouth and they have the reins attached to it so that you can kind of control the head of the horse to tell it where to go. You guys picturing it with me? Picturing the horse, not the horses in the back, but the horses that people ride, right? So they got this whole apparatus in their mouth, and the purpose of it is so that it'll steer them in the way that they should go. And the same idea with bridling his tongue is that you have your mouth under control. You're not someone who's just spitting off whatever comes to mind. You're not just saying cuss words. You're not just saying discouraging things, but you have it under control. You are self-controlled with the words that you speak. Are you someone who's building others up or tearing people down through the words that you use? The second thing in that passage that it says is to visit orphans and widows. And see, these are people who are in a particularly helpless state, orphans and widows. And a part of that is being said in Titus 3:14 that we just read. Those people who are in cases of urgent need, those people who are in distress, we need to be those people caring for them, because the world is not going to care for those people. Are you someone who cares for other people. In Acts 20, verse 35, it says that in all these things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. We need to help those people who are weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Do we understand that? Do we agree with that? Are we people who say, oh, I would rather receive stuff than give it? There's someone who I learned how this is especially true of over this summer, someone who really understood that it is far better to give than to receive. And his name is Matthew Bates. You guys should know him. He's a leader here. He was an intern over the summer. And every time that I walked into the office, or most of the time I walked in the office, there was always some sort of present that he brought for us. Like one day you walk into the office and there's like a box of donuts. And he's like, oh, I just want to bring in a box of donuts for everyone. Like, oh, sweet. One time he like bought me a Hydro Flask. I was like, I didn't do anything. He's like, oh, I just wanted to show my care for you. So I bought you guys a Hydro Flask. I was like, oh, thank you guys. He's like, oh, I brought gift cards for everyone. You're like, oh, pay for the different shakes. Like buy us new laptops. No, he didn't go that far. But every single time it was always bringing different gifts. And why did he do that? Because he understood this passage. He understood that it is far better to give to others than to receive. But are you someone who does that? See, he found the joy in giving to others. Are you someone who was also going to give to those in need? Think about it. Visiting people in the hospital, are you someone who's doing that? Visiting orphans, widows, senior citizens, people who are in a compromised position. Are you going to show care and genuine concern for them, being busy doing that work or not? And see, care is costly. It's not something that is always the easiest thing to do. That's why it's the title of this message, Costly Care. See, it's easy to give to someone. It's easy to give a gift to someone when you just found 20 bucks on the ground, right? Or it's easy to go and talk to grandma and grandpa because you know, oh, they're probably going to give me something good. Maybe they might give me like some, at least my grandparents, they'd be like, oh, here's some desserts, take home with you and here's 20 bucks. Like, oh, of course I'll be nice to grandma and grandpa. I'll show concern to them. But are we going to show concern to other people when we know there is nothing that I'm getting in return for this time, for this money? Will I give out of my own allowance to someone less fortunate? Will I give of my time that I can't take back for the sake of somebody else? Am I going to do that good work? The third thing that it talks about in the passage in James 1, 26 and 27 is to keep oneself unstained from the world, to stay away from sin. Are you someone who is fighting sin? Or are you just, whenever that temptation comes, I just give into it. Just give into it. A lot of people say, man, I'm just struggling with this sin. I'm struggling with it. And Pastor PJ always says, what does that even mean to be struggling with sin? You're either defeating sin, you're either beating it and saying no, or you are being defeated by sin. Let's stop using that phrase and throwing it around. You're either fighting against sin or you are being defeated by sin. But oftentimes, when that temptation comes, we don't even put up a fight. We need to start fighting harder than we ever had for the different temptations that come into our lives to say no to sin. We need to be zealous for these things. That's what the whole book of Titus is about. Being someone who is zealous to do these good works, what God wants us to do. We need to be busy with our lives doing godly things. Do you guys know the reputation of Generation Z? Or the people, you guys are Generation Z if you didn't know that. I had to look that up because I don't know the whole Generation X, Y, I don't even know. You guys are Generation Z. And you want to know what one of your guys' reputations is? To be people who are lazy. People who sit on their butts, lazy, apathetic, unaware. They won't get off of their butts. Well, guess what? You guys can change that narrative. The world says, oh, to fix that, you just need to become educated. You just need to stay up with the affairs in the current society. But the Bible says to solve that of laziness, be busy doing what God commands in his word. Are you going to do that? You might look at yourself and be like, I'm not the lazy one. It's all these other people around me. It's these people sitting to my left. You guys are probably nudging each other right now. Don't nudge each other. It's not a good sign. I see the brothers right there. Come on, let's be nice. Oh, are you someone who is being lazy, or are you being busy, being productive, doing what God wants in his word? Colossians 1:10 says, "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." Think about how you spend your time. Would you say how you spend your time is fully pleasing to the Lord? That every single moment, God would be fully pleased with how you are spending your time. Or do you get home and you get on your phone and you look at the clock and it's been a whole hour and you've been scrolling through Instagram or TikTok or watching YouTube videos and you've wasted a whole hour just doing that? Or maybe you look at the clock and you're like, wow, 3 hours have gone by just playing video games for 3 straight hours. Or you look at the clock and, man, it's been 4 hours and I've just been watching the same baseball game and it's still 0-0. And don't get what I'm trying to say. I'm not saying that these things are inherently bad. But can we redeem some of this time in a better way? Using our time more efficiently. Maybe have a sports game on in the background and do something like do some homework at the same time. You can set time limits on the apps on your phone. That's something that I've done. Set like, oh, I only want to be on this app this amount of time and I don't want to go beyond that, so I can spend more of this time maybe tanning through a book of the Bible. You can do that. Have someone hold you accountable with the time that you are spending and spend more time doing things that God would be pleased with. Spend more time being fruitful for the Lord. Because let me tell you something, when you get to heaven, if you are a Christian in this room, there's not going to be a point when you get into heaven and you're going to say, man, I just was way too productive for the Lord. Let me tell you, I just did way too much for God. I was way too bold. I just was kind of a little out there. I was kind of a crazy Christian. I shouldn't have done all these things for God. You think anyone's going to say that when they get into heaven? You're going to hear a lot more of people saying, wow, I wasn't as bold for the Lord as I should have been. I wasted all this time doing X, Y, and Z when I could have been doing so many greater things that would have an eternal impact. And see, if we know that we would say those things if we were to die now, why don't we just change it right now and not have to regret it later in life? See, when we bear this fruit in our lives, when we live for the Lord, it is a confirmation that we are right with the Lord. You can look at how you're living and say, yeah, I know I'm right with God because I can see the change that he has made in my heart. But there's other people in this room who you're living your life for yourself. You're doing what God wants sometimes, but the main focus of your life is not what God wants you to do. And that's someone who is not a Christian, someone who's not right with the Lord. See, you can't do what God wants you to do because you are enslaved to the sin in your life. You're enslaved to it, and you can't say no to it. You need to repent and put your trust in the Lord. You might be like, Nathan, I've tried that already. It doesn't work. I've already tried that. You can look at some point in your past, I've tried it, and so I've given up on it. I don't even want to do it anymore. Well, see, if you have that sort of attitude, that is someone who's trusting in yourself rather than trusting in God. If you truly repent of your sins and put your trust in God, do you really think that God is not going to save you? Of course he will. He promises that those who repent of their sins and put their full trust in the Lord will be saved. Stop trying to trust in yourself or rely on yourself. Put all your trust on the Lord and get right with him. Then, once you do that, then you can put into action all these things that we've talked about in this second point. And guess what? God rewards those who live obedient lives to him, doing what he wants. Hebrews 6:10, one passage to write down that talks about it. It says, "For God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have shown for his name in serving the saints as you still do." It's saying, hey, God is not unjust to not reward you for the things that you are doing for him. No, God is fully just. He is the definition of justice. He's going to reward you if you are living for his name and for his glory. Verse 11 in Hebrews 6, it says, "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness," which is the same idea, same eagerness, the same excitement to have the full assurance of hope until the end. God is going to reward those who live their lives fully for him. So keep up the same eagerness. Some of you guys have this fire. Some of you guys recently got saved, whether it was a revival or around that time, and you have this passion, this excitement, this eagerness to do what God has to say. Don't let it die down. Don't be sluggish. Don't be lazy. Keep living on fire for the Lord, especially as school comes around and responsibilities start to pick up. Keep your focus on the Lord, and he will reward us for it. One thing that God supports and he will reward is when we team up with those around us to reach people for Christ. So for point number three, write down, team up with others to advance the gospel. Team up with others to advance the gospel. And we see this back in our main passage, Titus 3, verses 12 and 13. It says, "When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Do your best to speed Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing." You see, Titus is going to be an encouragement to Paul. He's sending Artemis or Tychicus to replace him at this church, and he's going to come and visit Paul, and I'm sure he is going to be an encouragement to them. Are you someone who's uplifting others? Are you someone who's encouraging others, as we talked about earlier? Are you someone who's visiting other Christians, visiting other non-Christians as well? See, Titus is going to go over to visit Paul and encourage him. When's the last time you've encouraged someone in the narrow? Think about that. Or maybe for you, it's never. Have you ever encouraged someone in the narrow? Beyond just like, "Oh, nice outfit," or "Nice shoes," or "Sick jump shot." Like, not just those kind of compliments, but like encouraging someone to live more on fire for the Lord. "Oh, dude, I saw how you've been posting on DBR this past week. You've done such a great job. I just want to encourage you. It's been really awesome seeing how God has worked in your life." Or maybe you're holding each other accountable, and it's a girl in the faith, and you're like, "Wow, you've been such an encouragement to me and pushing me to live more like God. I just want to thank you for it and encourage you to keep doing that to other people as well." Have you ever encouraged someone else in their faith? Part of teaming up with others is also having this at-a-pat mindset, willing to do anything at any place at any time for the Lord, sacrificially giving of yourself to others. Think about it back to Titus 3:13. It says, "Do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing." So these missionaries are coming their way, and he's asking this church and Titus specifically to care for them. I'm sure that's not always going to be easy. It's, "Hey, take them in. If they don't have a house, go ahead and take them in. If they need food, take it. Whatever they need, make sure that they lack nothing." That takes an at-a-pat mindset. And sometimes we're at-a-pat for various things, but we need to be at-a-pat for the Lord. And it reminds me of the 2 a.m. Spirit Points video. Do you guys remember that? I know they didn't come to junior high, but they went up to the high school rooms and they were like, "All right, will you do this for Spirit Points?" You guys remember that video? It was like they'll wake them up at like 2 a.m. and they'll be like, eat this. It was like they're all whispering too. It's like, "Eat this chocolate cake for Spirit Points." They're like, "Wait, what is this real?" And then there were this, who is it? Ian was like eating chocolate cake at like 2 a.m. in the morning, just downing this chocolate cake. Other people were like, "Sing this song in Spanish." And like, they're doing like all these things at 2 a.m. for what? Just to come in like fifth place. Because they didn't win. Most of them didn't win. To come in fifth place, just to get Spirit Points. I mean, you probably would have done the same thing if they asked you to do these things, but they were willing to do whatever it took for Spirit Points. They were doing it in their beds. They would do it at any place. They did it at 2 a.m. They'd probably do it at any time just to win Spirit Points, which are an arbitrary thing. Obviously, we all wanted to get Spirit Points, but in the long run, they're not really that important. Now, hopefully, we can all agree on that. How much more so should we be at a pat when it comes to supporting one another, supporting us as believers to go out and proclaim the gospel, to go out and share the gospel with other people. We need to be people who are financially supporting and giving to missionaries and pastors. In 3 John verses 5 through 8, if you remember last winter, for you 8th graders, we went through a series of 3 John called Servants and Snobs. And remember here, John is writing to Gaius, and he says this in verse 5. He says, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are." So these people had come, these brothers, strangers. So these people don't know them. And for those of you who don't know, these people are missionaries. They're strangers. These Gaius has never met these people. He doesn't know who they are. But yet, in verse 6, it says, "They testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God." These missionaries, Gaius didn't even know. He didn't know these people. They were strangers, just these random people. He says, "Hey, support them." And guess what? Clearly, their support, their sacrifice was so impactful because John heard word about it and is writing to them. That is the same attitude that we need to have with people who are going out and proclaiming the gospel, whether it's us here in the Narrow or even missionaries and pastors. Are we sacrificially supporting them, actually giving to their physical well-being? They didn't just care for them and like giving them hugs and kisses, right? They were just like, "Oh, come here. Oh, wow, he's very supported," because maybe part of your care is giving them a hug, but that wasn't all of it. It was actually giving for their physical well-being as well. Are you giving of your own money to support people who are across the globe advancing the gospel? Think about the missionaries that we have here at our, that we support here at our church. Are you giving of your money? Are you tithing as God commands so that we can continue to support various missionaries around the world? Maybe you don't even know who our missionaries are that we support. Maybe you've never even heard of their names, and maybe you've even never met them before. Well, hopefully we can change that, because Drew's going to come down and he's going to hand out some of these note cards of names of the missionaries that we support at Compass. So go ahead and grab one or two of these cards, and so it'll get into our memory some of these missionaries that we support. And I'm going to give you guys a challenge. A challenge this week so that we can be thinking more about missionaries, people who are advancing the gospel, not just here in the local area, but across the globe. I challenge you to pray for the one or two cards or the couple cards that you take. If there's extra left over, you can leave them towards the end. We're going to have even other ones on the back table. Grab as many as you want. I challenge you to pray for the cards that you take and pray for those people, pray for the work that they're doing every single day this week. So 7 times for the next 7 days, I challenge you to pray for them every single day. Whether that's during your prayer time, whenever you do that, if it's before meals, to pray for them every single day. Are you guys willing to step up and take that challenge to pray for these missionaries? And even let's go beyond that. If you're someone who isn't giving of your money to the church, I know we aren't making the big bucks. No one's running a multi-millionaire corporation. But God calls us to give no matter how much what we're making. So are you giving some of your allowance to the church to support these missionaries? And if you're not, I challenge you to start in that way as well. We need to be praying and giving and supporting other people to advance the gospel. Other missionaries across the globe, as we just handed out the cards of the names of the people, but even the people that we go to school with, the people that we're sitting side by side with to advance the gospel. It makes me think of this game, bringing us back to revival, of steal the bacon, or steal the inner tube, because I don't know where we get the bacon from. But I love bacon. That side point doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about. Steal the inner tube. My favorite game at revival. And I remember being out there, they did the leaders round. And I'm on one side, and then John Duplessis and Matthew Bates are on the other side, and we're going back and forth with the inner tube. But then one of my favorite things was then John would yell out like, "Oh, send," and then there would be more people from your team coming. And I just remember I was just pulling, trying to all three of us go in different directions. And then Joel Gabayan, my co-leader, comes and gets on the tube with me. And all of a sudden, we're just like dragging Matthew Bates and John Duplessis across the field, and we end up scoring the point. When we worked together, when we teamed up with one another, we were able to do way much more than I was able to do over by myself. And that's the same idea when it comes to teaming up with one another to advance the gospel. When we support one another, when we partner, when we come side by side with each other, we can do even greater things for the gospel than we could do by ourselves. We can reach more people for Christ. But it starts with caring for the lost. It starts with being people who has a genuine concern for others. Develop that genuine concern. Be busy doing what God wants, whether that's helping people in need or the other things we talked about. And then in the end, team up with others to advance the gospel, to see more people reached for the name of Christ, that they would be saved and that people would continue to be sanctified as a result. Let's pray.